Take your Bible, if you would. Find the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. If you want to take something and put it in your place, you could find the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4, Hebrews chapter number 11 will be our text tonight. I wanted to spend a few moments as we close the day around the Word of God to join the service from this morning to tonight. And as I was preparing and studying for the message this morning on the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we were talking about a mighty angel that had come down and had the little book in his hand, and how John had seen that and what that little book was and the importance of it and the authority of that angel and all the announcement that there would be no more delay. And in the midst of that announcement, the strong angel had said that there would be time no longer. And what he meant by that was not that there would be the absence of time, but there would be no more delay as God would be moving toward that final trumpet. And we know when that final trumpet, as it blows, it really is acknowledging that the kingdoms of the world, of the earth, will become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus, especially as his kingdom is set up upon the earth in the millennial reign. And we understand that. And there was a statement that was made there in the chapter 10 of the book of Revelation where it talked about the mystery of God. And at that moment and at that time, the mysteries of God would be revealed there. The mystery of God should be finished, that which he hath declared to his servants and his prophets. And the text there is letting us know that when it's all said and done, that when it unfolds as to who God is and what he has been allowing on the earth and what he has done on the earth and how it has unfolded, he will be glorified. He will be justified. He will be found to be perfect and sinless in all of that direction. And we know that day is coming, and we believe that day. The Bible scholars tell us that the mystery he's talking about there is why Satan was allowed to have such influence upon the earth. Why Satan was allowed to destroy and do all that he did. Why didn't God just destroy him? And it says when it's all unfolds, you'll understand the why of that. We know that as that unfolds at the end of the tribulation period and we go into the millennial kingdom, you and I will have already known that because we'll be with the Lord. But those saints that are upon the earth, they'll come to an understanding of that. Here's where I wanted to go with the message tonight. I know that the book of Revelation talks about the ability to know and have understanding and to have that all of that unfold. But you and I, we have the ability now in our lifetime, and we have the ability now through the Word of God to be able to be secure and trust the Lord by faith. What they are going to experience in reality, you and I have already experienced and believed by faith. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit tonight about the importance of faith in your life, and hopefully and truthfully stir you to an understanding to add and to grow in your faith. When I think about faith, I think about the book of Hebrews, and I think about the 11th chapter here as the writer of Hebrews gives a wonderful treatise about what true faith is. And I mentioned this morning in the 11 o'clock service, I think it was, how that as I was announcing the service tonight, how that I really do believe that, yes, we have 5 physical senses within our bodies, but I do believe as we get saved and the Spirit of God indwells us, that really and truthfully a 6th sense is brought to the believer. Mankind may have possessed faith as a sense and as an ability prior to the fall. Maybe he lost that within the fall when man sinned. But I know that as I trust Christ and as I receive the Holy Spirit of God, then I have the ability to know the joy and the impact and to exercise faith. I have that ability on a saving level, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And then I also have that ability on a living or a daily level, as I have learned to not walk by sight, but to walk by faith. And so as this is appropriated in our lives, and by the way, I do think that a strong faith life is the foundation for a strong spiritual life. Let me just prove that, because I feel like you need me to prove that. Hold your hand here. Just flip, if you would, please, to 2 Peter just a moment. It's just a few books back to the right here. You understand Peter's little epistle. Let me just... Verse number 3 of chapter number 1, he talks about having received divine, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We understand that as we have saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Faith. So the addition here of virtue and of knowledge and of temperance and of patience and of godliness and of brotherly kindness, even all the way down to charity, these things that make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, these build on top of our faith. And so it is imperative as believers that we have a strong, growing faith life. And as I look at the book of Hebrews, and we look at this great treatise that the writer has given to us, we must understand the context of what we're about to enter into in verse number 1 of chapter 11. If you would look up, please, come back, if you would, to chapter number 10 of the book of Hebrews. And we're looking here at what the writer is telling them. Go, if you would, please, to verse number 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. All right? So here is the difficulty that the reason that the writer had to write the book of Hebrews. These folks had come to faith in the Lord Jesus. However, they were being pulled back from faith in Christ, back under the law, back into that old covenant. That's why at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, he says all those things were a shadow of what was to take place. And so there was a pulling now away from faith back into law. And the writer says, wait. You've already come this far in faith. You've already believed, you've trusted the Lord. Don't let anybody draw you back away from this position of faith. So important is it, if you look at verse 31 of that chapter, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she become companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Here's a word we need. Now, the writer says, now wait a minute. I know you're under this persecution right now, and I know you're being pulled apart, but let's remember how you began this journey. And when you began this journey and you were illuminated, immediately truth began to spring up in your heart. So secure were you in this faith in the Lord Jesus. There's a bug flying around me that I'm going to swallow here immediately in just a moment. I've almost done it twice. That you were willing in verse 34 to have your goods taken from you, knowing that in heaven a better and enduring substance. So your faith was so powerful in your life that it had surpassed even the physical things that you own in your life. Pretty important. Cast not away, therefore, your, what's that word? Your confidence. Don't lose confidence in Jesus. Don't lose confidence in salvation by faith. Don't lose that, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now he's writing here, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry, speaking of the Lord and the Holy Spirit here. Now, verse 38, now the just shall live by what? Faith. Who are the just? The saved, the righteous. Now the writer's getting their attention. He's saying, now listen, not only are you justified by faith, but once you have been justified by faith, you also live by faith. The just shall, not maybe, not possibly, they shall live by faith. They'll live eternally as they have eternal life in the Lord by faith, and they'll live in the moments of their life as they have sustaining living faith. Saved people live by faith. Pastor, I just can't exercise faith at all. If you can't exercise faith at all, there's a problem. The just shall live by faith. See, when I said to you that faith is like a sixth sense, immediately as you trust the Lord Jesus and you are a partaker of the divine nature of him and the Holy Spirit of God moves within you, there is this movement within your spirit to trust the Word of God, to believe the Word of God. Confidence begins to grow. You can't explain it. You just find that there's a drawing to the things of God, the person of God, and the Word of God. And the writer says, that's evidence that you know the Lord. Now look at his caution here in verse number 38. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of, say that word, them. We and them. We, them, two groups of people, but we are not of them. The we there are the people that have not drawn back. The we there are the believers that are living by faith. The them, read here if you would in verse 39, who draw back unto perdition or destruction. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. All right. So faith is being challenged here. Really, truthfully, salvation by faith is being challenged here. And now, as the writer of Hebrews has warned them about the position of the just, that they shall live by faith eternally and even in the moments, and those people that draw back away from faith and they go back under that law, they draw back into perdition. Pastor, were those people saved and now they're not saved? No, their drawing back is evidence that they've never been inhabited by God and that they've never been saved by faith. Let's just make sure we understand something. We believe in the doctrine of eternal security. Okay? So once you've been saved, you can never be lost. Oh, there's a lot of people that profess that they're saved, and they may give testimony that they're saved, but they don't possess the Lord. Even the writer in Hebrews in chapter 6 deals with that. Some get really close. They're even moved by the Spirit of God. They have an understanding of what's before them, but there's never been that reception and that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the writer says, those that draw back are evidenced that they're not operating in faith. Right on the heels of that, you come to chapter 11, verse number 1. And the writer gives a definition as to what true faith is. Now, faith is the, say that word. Now, we had that word earlier in chapter number 10, back up in verse number 34. He says, now, when you came to faith in Christ, that faith brought about a substance. By the way, that faith brought about a substance that was located where, class? Verse number 34. In where? In heaven. A substance that reckoned in heaven there was better than what was going on in the earth. So immediately as the Holy Spirit of God indwelt them, there was already the setting or the drawing, the setting of the affection up in heaven. Now he comes back and he says, let's talk about what faith is. By the way, everybody in the world exercises faith. Everybody. Faith is something that can be exercised by saved people and unsaved people. Faith is something that can be exercised in all cultures. It can be exercised around the world. You probably exercise faith way more than what you think you do. You go into a building. You trust that the building doesn't fall down. You're exercising faith right now. You're sitting in a pew. We exercise faith on many different levels. So let's understand what faith really is. Here's the definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not what? Seen. So faith is substantial. That word substance carries with it a word called realization. Faith really and truthfully gives substance to the unseen realities of our life. Faith is not wishing upon a star. Problem is, that's sometimes how Christian people live. We live wishing upon a star, and we want to secure ourselves by saying we have faith in the Lord, but our faith is not substantial in our life. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. That word evidence is the word conviction. So really and truthfully, faith is believing in God. It's trusting, but it also has an action that follows. And what faith does is it brings a substance to the unseen reality. It brings a conviction to those things which we do not know, a conviction that they are real. By the way, do you believe that Jesus is real? You've never seen him with your eye. Well, I have a picture of him. I promise you he doesn't look like that picture. How do you know? Faith. I promise you, what your physical eye can do to provide sight for you as it catches the light rays and things unfold and you can see, there is the ability of biblical faith to allow us to see the unseen. And what we may not see with our physical eye, but we see by faith, is absolutely as convicting and real in my life as what I see by my physical eye. By the way, I'm trusting that to get to heaven. Okay? So, faith is the substance of that which I have hope for, which brings a hope. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. And here's the writer of Hebrews. See, they have been brought to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus, believing in the shed blood, believing in the crucifixion. They're being drawn back into that which they can see physically. And he's saying, no. You've already started by faith. Let that faith provide that substance. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. I'm going somewhere here. For by it, the elders obtained a what? A good report. So now he goes all the way back into the Old Testament, and he begins to outline for them that it was by faith the way that the elders became in who they are. And he's getting ready to give them this long list in the book of Hebrews as he walks through the history of the Jews and walks through their great heroes of the faith. And when you go all the way back to the father of them, Abraham, you find that the Bible says Abraham believed God, he exercised faith, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. On your own, because I don't want to take the time tonight, you read Romans chapter number 4. You ought to make that a study for you. In Romans chapter number 4, clearly the life of Abraham is outlined there, how it was operated by faith. And you will find that Abraham at one time had weak faith, and he grew into strong faith. There was the development of his faith. He was fully persuaded in his mind what God was able to do. So the writer says, now wait a minute, fellas. The just living by faith is nothing new. All the way back in the Old Testament, your elders obtained a good report as they walked by faith. Matter of fact, let me show you how good the report is. Come, if you would, please, down to verse number 6. But without faith, it is, read that word, possible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How did these elders obtain such a good report? And the writer is saying, listen, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, this is a hard statement, but a Sunday night crowd ought to be able to handle this. I don't care how good an unsaved man is. If you're not inhabited by God, you cannot please God. Before I got saved, everything I did found with all my deeds found within themselves the context of sin. There was nothing pleasing I could offer to God. That's why you cannot be saved by doing good works, because your good works carry with them, they don't carry with them any power. It was not until I reckoned the grace of God and believed by faith upon the Lord Jesus that the Holy Spirit of God came into me and inhabited me, that faith, that believing brought about salvation to me. Then it brought about the ability for me to walk by faith. And then that enables me to live by faith, and that enables me to please the Lord. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. Saved or unsaved. Pastor, can saved people live faithless lives? I will say this way. I do believe saved people can live faithless moments in their lives. But the Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. So there's just the natural drawing. If God lives in you, the Holy Spirit of God, there's the natural drawing to believe God. I mean, God's not going to give you a diverse drawing. There's unity there, and there's a drawing to believe God and to believe the Word of God. What a pity I find as I live my life sometimes in faithless moments. Let me just be real practical with you. God is always going to make sure as He moves in your life that your response will have to be by faith. I don't know how many times I have to tell Christian people that there's no such thing as green grass. Pastor, if God would just give me, He's not going to do that. No, because the motive behind that statement is, well, if God would just give me this, then I could give here, I could meet these needs, I could be such a blessing. But in the back of that motive is also, then I could care for myself. And God is never going to put you in a position where you're going to be able to survive and to be able to be exalted by yourself. He's always going to put you in a position where it's going to demand faith. Why? Because God is pleased by our faith. Period. Pastor, can you show that to me? Let me show you the depth, how far he will go. Hold your hand here. Go back to 1 Peter. Hold your hand just a couple pages. This is all introduction, by the way. Look, if you would, 1 Peter chapter number 1. You know where I'm going. Verse number what, class? Verse number 7, well done. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. God don't care about gold. He cares about your faith. Though it be tried with fire, God doesn't care about our convenience. He cares about our faith. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God doesn't care that life is simple for you. God doesn't care that life is easy. God doesn't care that you have all that you per se want to have. He cares about his glory. Whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is how God moves. God moves in our life to the point that there is a demand for us to operate by faith. Pastor, what is faith? Great. Faith is that substance that brings about a conviction of the unseen reality. It's a substance that brings about a conviction of the unseen reality. The unseen reality from us, because God sees everything. Well, Pastor, how are we going to make it? You're going to make it because God's going to help you make it. Well, Pastor, this problem, okay, you see the problem. I understand that, but there are some things you don't see. And so as you and I are to live in a pleasing way unto the Lord and understand not only saving faith, but living faith, there is a growing substance and conviction to the unseen reality. Why is that so important? Ooh, I was hoping you would care. Verse number 3. Through faith, we say the word, understand. Through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand. Now, in the book of Revelation, when the Lord Jesus unfolds that kingdom, the writer says that there'll be some understanding. The mysteries of God will be finished at that point, as they were told to the prophets and as they were told back then, that will finish and you'll have understanding. But you and I can have understanding now, but you will never have a peaceful understanding in your life unless you learn how to develop understanding through faith. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you just say that faith is the unseen reality? How am I ever going to have any understanding if I don't know what's coming? Oh, good question. Because we know the one who holds our lives. We know the one who holds our tomorrow. Also, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the writer here is letting them know that through faith we understand. He talks about how the ages are formed. He talks about, now watch this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the, say those three words, word of God. Were any of those folks there when God framed the world? No. No. Well, how do you have understanding, sir? You weren't there. Oh, no, I wasn't there, but the Bible says. So through faith, we understand, and he goes all the way back to creation, which they weren't there, and he says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And this is the point I'm driving home to God's people tonight. It is the word of God, as we appropriate it by faith, that brings understanding to our lives. And so many times we try to look at a certain situation, a jobless situation, a spousal situation, or a lack of spousal situation, or we try to look at a problem or a difficulty or a relationship, and somehow we try to attribute understanding, and we never insert faith into that. And faith says, and where does faith go? Faith goes back to the word of God, and then the word of God gives me understanding. So when my circumstances say one thing, I better check and make sure God's word says the same. Because God's word is more true than my circumstances. And this is where God's people lack such peace. Back in 2 Corinthians, when Paul was talking about that, and he's talking about heaven, and he talks about how we walk not by sight, but by faith. We sang this, the choir sang the song this morning, He Hideth My Soul, written by a blind woman. Perfect illustration. She couldn't see what you and I could see, but she sure could see what you and I can see. Pastor, you're double talking me. No, I'm not. I got a nap. I know I'm good. She couldn't see what we could see, but she could see by faith. And she knew that she was hidden in the cleft of that rock. What I want you to know tonight is, there is understanding that brings about a peace and a confidence to continue to go forward. But that understanding only comes by the Word of God. And that understanding only appropriates as I walk by faith, trusting the Word of God. You must believe and understand, the just will live, shall live by faith. Faith is a sixth sense that given to God's people. It has to be nurtured. It has to be nourished. It has to be developed. But it's abnormal for a Christian not to go by faith. Well, Pastor, it just doesn't make sense to put 10% in the offering plate every week. It makes perfect sense. Well, Pastor, it just doesn't make sense to just trust God with all. It makes perfect sense. Well, I just don't understand. Right. And any time you go away from the Word of God and you go away through walking through life by faith, you're going to find it doesn't make sense to your flesh and your knowledge, but it makes sense to that Spirit. And those of us that have learned to walk and trust by faith the Word of God, we find that we have pretty good understanding. And where we lack understanding in the details of something, we find completion in the detail of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's substantial. It's convicting to the unseen reality. Well, Pastor, I know where I want and I know what I want, but I just don't see any real way of seeing it happen. I believe this is what God is saying, but I don't know how he's going to connect the dots. Well, he can. Well, I don't know how he's going to work the details out. He will. That's not your problem. That's his problem. Your problem is simply to believe him, to trust him, to let that faith grow substantial, to be convicted about it. And through that, you will find that you will have understanding. Listen, there is no greater understanding than biblical understanding. And there's no more real faith than biblical faith. You want to be disappointed? Put faith in your job. Put faith in your spouse. Put faith in your pastor. Put faith in your church. Put faith in anything but the Lord Jesus and his word, and you'll be disappointed. But when you walk by faith that way, you will have tremendous understanding. This is what the writer's telling them. He said, wait. It's through faith where we have understanding. And he, with them, it was through faith that they had found salvation in the Lord Jesus. It was through faith that they were able to walk and live. They're wanting to pull you back away from faith. Don't let them draw you back. The just shall live by faith. We can have understanding today. All right, let's pray. You've had enough. You can't take no more. You're like Popeye. You can't stand no more.